Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega with you all hour, and it's great to have you here. 1 month ago, we took this show on the road to Utah.
Hello, Salt Lake City. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for coming out.
We organized a live discussion on a troubling crisis that is not receiving the attention it deserves, the crisis of missing and murdered Native women and girls. More than 4 in 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women have experienced violence, and more than half of that population has experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. But this data is incomplete.
That creates a big issue for us later on down the line because we don't know the scope, and maybe we'll never know the scope. That's honestly how I feel, that maybe we'll never know the entire scope because this has been going on for ages.
That's Jennifer Boyce, campaign chair of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives of Utah. But this is just one of a host of issues important to Native American communities throughout the country.
I know when I was young and before I really could grapple and wrap my head around the situation, I was pretty upset that people didn't know that I was Native. And I realize now that is because that I could see that the genocide worked. The genocide was working.
When you say the genocide was working, you mean you felt erased?
Yeah. No one recognized me for who I am, except for my tribe.
Many other Native voices who have joined us on this program have also told us that identity and visibility are top of mind for them. According to the 2010 census, there are more than 5 million Native American people throughout the country, but many experts say the true number is much higher. And as we approach the 2020 election, presidential candidates have been putting forward plans to tackle climate change, taxes, education, healthcare, and more. But we still haven't heard how these issues apply to Native communities throughout the country. Nor have we heard much about concerns specific to these communities. That's why Native American organizations have teamed up to organize a presidential candidate forum to address issues important to Native communities. All of the Democratic candidates have been invited to this August forum, along with President Trump and Republican challenger Bill Weld. It's not an official debate sponsored by either party, and no one has signed on yet. But if any of the candidates agree to go, this will be a historic forum, something we haven't seen in past elections. And at the very least, it made us think about the issues Natives are facing in this country. So we're going to talk about it now. O.J. Siemens is with us today. O.J. is a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and the co-executive director of Four Directions, the main organization leading this forum. O.J., welcome to The Takeaway.
My relatives, I want to wish you health and health, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Mark Trahant is editor of Indian Country Today, and he'll be moderating the potential discussions with the candidates in August. Mark, thanks for coming back on the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So, OJ, let's start with you. Can you tell us why Native issues have been left out of the conversation leading up to the election and what leaders are really hoping to get out of the forum?
Well, my opinion is that basically since 1924, when we were granted citizenship, we still had to fight every day to try to be a part of the process. Over the last few years through litigation, negotiations, we've been able to try to set up equality at the ballot box. That equality enabled Natives on Indian reservations throughout the United States to participate equally and, in a lot of cases, have 30 days to vote instead of one day to vote. This has increased the Native turnout, not only in voting, but in state legislatures, county commissioners, election officials, school boards. And so it's the process of equality that has stopped us from actually having our voices heard.
Mark, when we look historically at past presidential candidates, how many, if any, of them have focused on issues affecting Native communities so far?
There have been a few, and it really started with Jesse Jackson's campaign. He visited several reservations, and I'll never forget, I was editor of the Navajo Times then, and he did a presentation to the Navajo Nation Council and had them all on their feet, very excited. Barack Obama campaigned on reservations. So it happens from time to time. One of the original efforts was by Richard Nixon, of all people, who sent his brother to reservations. So it happens from time to time, but there's not been a real great conversation about some of these issues. For example, you started the show with missing and murdered Indigenous women. And one of the really success stories of the last election was more women ran than ever before. And all of those women, as they entered state legislatures, started to pass legislation on murdered and missing Indigenous women. So you have this whole slew of state laws that have come about because of that.
OJ, let's talk a little bit about the forum that you're holding in August and what your expectations are so far.
Okay, yeah, we're holding it in Sioux City. I figure, you know, in August, there might be one or two presidential candidates still knocking on doors there, so we made it very easy for them to show up. We actually have active conversations with Senator Sanders, Senator Harris, and Senator Warren. We also have an active conversation with Beto O'Rourke. It's funny, I get to talk in New York, but your senator hasn't even answered. So that makes me wonder what New York's doing here.
Interesting. Has our mayor answered? He's running for president.
Yes. Neither candidate has answered our invitation. So if they're listening now, we're easy to get a hold of, and you're going to be there. So why not come?
Sounds great. And also, are you hearing anything back? You said you've mentioned also inviting President Trump and his immediate contender. Have you heard anything from them?
No, I have not. And that's the other one that's from New York that needs to be listening and coming to see us.
I want to pivot a minute here. Mark, let's talk about housing and infrastructure. What are your biggest concerns that the candidates should be keeping in mind when it comes to these issues, specifically within Native communities?
Well, the big one is the growing triple threat from the inability of Congress to come up with an actual budget for the next cycle, plus the reaching the debt limit. And there's so much division in Congress that it's going to be very difficult to fund regular programs like housing. On top of that, the administration's budgets have been painful in terms, if they were ever executed, in terms of how they deal with all Indian programs, but particularly housing.
And OJ, another issue that comes up and has come up repeatedly in the news, and we've covered this extensively on the show, is climate change. Can you tell climate change and also environmental concerns for the land? When we think about that, we're thinking about pipeline, for example. How are Native communities viewing this through the lens of their ancestors, future generations? And also, what are the expectations that you're hoping the candidates will say about these issues?
Well, first of all, our culture dictates that we protect Mother Earth. And so every tribe, I think, throughout the United States has the same thought process of that we need to ensure that we have water for our children, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren for the next seven generations. So we are actively seeking through federal court, through local courts, through tribal courts, through activism, to slow down or stop the use of pipelines affecting our water going all the way from Canada to Texas to ship overseas. There is no really basis for them to do that. If they wanted to create jobs, they'd be able to create a lot of jobs using the trucking industry and the trains. But we will stand very solid on ensuring that we protect Mother Earth. The other thing, as far as wanting that the candidates to understand where we stand, these are issues that haven't been addressed. Standing Rock, it took a few years, even President Obama to step in, and even then we lost. And so we're taking different types of action now, and we're looking at it. We learn from losing, and we strengthen what we have learned and put it into action. So it's an education issue for these candidates. They don't know about Indian country. You know, they'll go and in their debates, I haven't heard one question that has been centered around Native Americans. And so what we want to do is not only make this a issue, we want to make this a educational thing for all of the candidates. And quite frankly, if people are listening, we want to be able to let America know that we're here, we care, and we're not leaving.
And when you say you haven't heard a question, you're referencing in the debates so far.
Well, the debates, the other forums they went to. Now, I understand they talk about infrastructure. I understand they talk about housing, but you're talking two different worlds. We're nations within a nation. We have treaties with the United States government that obligates them to put in transportation, to put in housing, put in health care, and they're failing in their obligation. And so this is very important for us to address to the presidential candidates of having them understand there's a different obligation to the first Americans than to the general population.
That's an important point, OJ. And Mark, I want to just tie up with you here another issue that comes up for so many Americans, and particularly Native communities, health care. Are there specific issues within Native communities that you expect candidates should be focusing on? We mentioned missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Anything else?
Well, health care is a huge issue. And we're now halfway into this presidential administration, and we still don't have a director of the Indian Health Service, which is really extraordinary to have an administration this far along not appoint somebody in that key job. There's been a huge change with the Affordable Care Act and how healthcare delivery is funded. It used to be all through the Federal Indian Health Service. Now Medicaid has become a significant funder. And as a states battle, you're seeing places where one state has expansion and another doesn't. And so the same families could get different services because of that. That's definitely part of it. There's also some good news in healthcare. We just did a story this last week on how, for the first time, really for 11 years, the diabetes rates in Indian country have been holding steady. And with risk factors going up, that's really a decline and a remarkable one that shows that government programs can work over time.
And obviously, we mentioned on the show yesterday that the ACA is facing another challenge to its constitutionality. So we'll be watching to see how that turns out. I want to thank our guest, OJ Siemens, a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and co-executive director of Four Directions, and Mark Trahant, the editor of Indian Country Today. OJ and Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Wopula, thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.